Welcome to Catch the Fire Auckland. We hope this message is a blessing to you. You can find us at ctfauckland.com.
A few weeks ago, the Lord dropped into my spirit this phrase. Lindley and I were kind of sitting on the couch chatting. We've got this big 6-foot-wide whiteboard that if you're at our house, you'll see. We pull it out of the office on wheels sometimes. We stick it up there and we just sort of, what's God doing? What's God saying? And we sort of have brainstorming sessions with God, which are quite fun. And we're sitting there having one of these kind of times, and the Lord just dropped into my heart. He said, wineskins are people, not structures. And so I've kind of just been meditating, pondering, thinking about that for a few weeks. So I want to talk about that today. And for those of you, some people have asked me, you know, so you bring a message, where does it come from? How do you get a message? It's just that. A moment of revelation that you then allow the Holy Spirit to unpack. And so, you know, we have talked about, we know God is moving. You know, that, you know, Lindley preached last week about, you know, August being the month of upgrade. But beyond that, in a bigger sense, we have an expectation that there's a move of God coming that is beyond what we've seen before. You know, a large part of the reason why we're all here is that we're kind of putting our time, energy, and money into this church because we believe this church is going to catch the wave, so to speak. You know, we're open to what God's doing, the things of the Spirit, you know, we want to. But I don't want to miss what God's doing. And I don't want you guys to miss it either. You know, but to catch what God's doing, we need to sort of have a few things in place, and particularly in our heart, and not think about ourselves or prepare ourselves for the new wine of the Holy Spirit. I won't sort of do a bit of a thing on, you know, wine is an analogy for the Holy Spirit, so I'll park that for another conversation. But, you know, when Jesus is talking about new wine, he's talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out. And, you know, we want to be vessels to contain that. And I was listening to and heard a preacher from overseas talking, and he talked about, you know, churches building wineskins. And I'm like, I don't think wineskins are meant to be organizational structures or programs or, you know, we are the wineskin. You know, the structure is the church, and the church is made up of you and me. And so we are the people that God is going to pour into. We are the wineskins that God is going to pour into. We are the ones that are going to contain the new wine. But we have to trust the Lord in that and be flexible and allow him to mold us and shape us and grow us. You know, when they make the new wine, that first part of fermentation is really turbulent. You know, there's lots of gases being released, and, you know, and the first part of any move of God, of anything that God does that's new, tends to be quite turbulent. So I think the new wine analogy that the Lord was using was quite pertinent. That what the Lord does when he brings something new into something that's existing, it shakes it up a bit. So we're looking forward to what God is going to shake up next. But you know, the 1 Corinthians 2:9 talks about, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those that love him. And I just hold that scripture with what God's going to do next. Lord, it's you're always advancing. The kingdom of God is always moving forward. It's always growing. It's always expanding. And I cannot comprehend how good and awesome and how amazing what you're going to do is. But I'm looking forward to it. I want to catch it. And don't want to miss it. So the thing is that when God does something new, it's new. We haven't necessarily seen it before. Or we haven't seen it in that form. Because it's like that, we can tend to question and go, is that really God? And, you know, when God poured out his Spirit in the 90s, You know, there was people that jumped in, boots and all, and had encounters with God and continue to have encounters with God and are running with that move of the Spirit that began in the 90s, and we're all fruit of that, right? But there are also people that are like, that's not God. You know, I don't believe that God would move that way. I don't believe God would do that. That's that, and so they kind of worked against what God was doing. You know, and the Pharisees and Luke are exactly the same. It's like, what's happening is not what I thought it would be. And so what's the difference between those people that jump in and those that don't? What makes the difference? And I want to sort of unpack that a little bit today. If you want to flick in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, that's where the parable is. And the context of it really is that Jesus had just called Levi, the tax collector, and said, come follow me. Levi was pretty excited about all of that, so he threw a great party for Jesus. And so all of Jesus' disciples that had been called to that point and what have you were there. They were eating and drinking and having a great time at Levi's house. And the Pharisees were not happy. They're questioning Jesus about, you know, John's disciples fast and pray, and the Pharisees fast and pray, but your disciples just eat and drink. Jesus has a good answer about that. But then he shares the story. And you can read it. It's also outlined in Matthew's Gospel chapter 9 and in Mark chapter 2. But we're going to use Luke 5, 36 to 38, I will talk about. So he's just had this in this conversation with the scribes and the Pharisees. And he was also telling them a parable, verse 36. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. Some translations say new, mine says fresh wineskins. What he's saying is you can't put new mindsets into old mindsets. And I love the King James Version talks about, in that first verse about the cloth, it talks about the new agreeth not with the old. And when you look back, you know, when you have a look at the in your concordance and pull out the Strong's word, it's talking about agreement. The new does not agree with the old, or the old does not agree with the new. And so agreement's about our minds and our hearts and what's going on the inside. But the Pharisees were tied to their traditions, their way of doing things. This is how God operates. And we're not willing to allow what Jesus was bringing as new to impact them. And so they rejected the move of God in the name of God, which was... Is what I noticed with our time in Toronto. People were rejecting the move of God in the name of God. And there's an irony in that. But, you know, we want to be open and willing. And I think the underlying issue around that is one of pride. It's whenever you get to that point of saying, I've arrived, and now I know the truth, or I have the revelation, or I'm now in that place where I now know, then that's the beginnings of being closed to what's coming. And I don't want to be a people where we feel like we've arrived in that sense. I want us to stay hungry and for what God is doing and be teachable. And be willing to be molded and pliable, you know. And that's a challenge in my own heart, you know. I mean, I realized the Lord, as I was sort of pondering this and working on it, the Lord has been challenging me about maybe my wineskins getting old in some areas. Because, you know, there's things happening in the kingdom of God, and I caught myself going, doesn't line up with my theology. God wouldn't do that. I don't think God moves that way. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, whatever's happening, but what I've noticed in my own heart is that there's that I don't agree with thing rising up, and I'm in that area. The Lord's challenging me about, are you open to encounter me here? You know, because revelation precedes logic, and it's one of those things that I kind of, when I first sort of said it, I'm like, really? But I realized that, you know, Isaac Newton sat under the tree, the apple fell, moment of revelation, and then he went about proving the theory and putting together the mathematics to support it. But the moment of revelation came first, and then the logic to support the revelation followed. And when you look back through so many of the great discoveries of mankind, they came in a dream. They came with a spontaneous thought. There was a moment of revelation that a scientist or a discoverer or someone then unpacked and put structure and logic to the revelation. And, you know, when we put the logic first, we miss the opportunity to encounter. And it's the encounter that brings life. You know, I think thinking about with Lindley and I, when we were heading over to Toronto, or thinking about heading over to Toronto, everybody around us thought we're completely mad. And, you know, we owned our house, we had great jobs. I was on the senior leadership team of the global company, New Zealand arm of it. I kind of had that, in my early 30s, I had felt like I had arrived, so to speak. And I was only a few months into the role. It was the job that I had said when I was a younger man, that's what I want to do, that's what I want. And now I'm into it and feeling like the Lord's saying resign. Right? And it's just... And wrestling with all the reasons why not. Had a dream of our house sold, the fence up the front built that we hadn't yet built, sold sticker on it, airplane taking off. Moment of revelation that allowed me to unpack what God was doing in my life. And if I had not embraced the revelation and just thought it through, we wouldn't have gone. And our lives wouldn't have been changed, and we wouldn't be here today, and it would be completely different, you know. So I'm not saying don't think. I'm just saying think second. Let God impact you. Let the encounter come. Let the Spirit move. And then go, was that God, wasn't it? You know, he is big enough to keep you. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. You know, if you stay hungry, teachable, and pursuing, and Jesus is your gate. Lindley's going to do a whole message on Jesus is the gate. And you know, we don't want any other gate into supernatural spiritual revelation other than Jesus. Right? But if you stay in that place, you can trust God. And let the encounter happen. Let your heart be touched, and then you can put stuff around that, and that will move you into freedom. But if we try and analyze stuff first, without the revelation, we can miss it. So we don't want to be doing that. You know, because God says his ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55 verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I love this scripture in Ezekiel 18:25. The Lord is dealing with the people of Israel. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is your ways that are not right? You know, it's like, come on, people, how big is God? You know, and his ways are not our ways. He will do things that are outside of our box. You know, nobody at the point in time that Jesus was coming actually really thought about the fact that Jesus would come as a baby. But those that embraced the revelation and allowed the dream or their heart to be touched, like, this is the Son of God. And it's a this is that. And I've lost count of the number of times that I've had prophetic words over my life about what God's going to do or is doing. And then in time, you sit there and you try and figure it out. It's like you get this amazing prophetic word and you read it and you think, you know, you look at the circumstances that you're in right now and you go, maybe this means that, and maybe it means that, and, you know, maybe God's going to do this, this, and this, and hardly ever works out like that. But then you find yourself in a situation and stuff happening around you and you go, oh, this is that. You know, but it's because you're open to revelation, you're open to letting God move. I think, you know, it's about staying hungry, staying humble, and using your discernment. You know, Matthew 11:25, you know, we need to continue to walk in childlike faith, that we have a big dad who loves us and is not out to trap us. You know, it's not like the Father is putting stumbling blocks in our way to lead us into deception. You know, he's not giving us a snake, but he's leading us into truth. But we need to embrace it in a childlike, not childish, childlike way. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. I think there's a key there in terms of embracing revelation about, Lord, you're just, you know, when I think about Jordan and when you think, you know, think about your young kids, you know, when you speak to them at the age, they haven't quite got to the age of going, Dad, you're wrong. but when they say this is how it is, they go, yep, embrace it and believe it. And it's that trust that you know, Jordan just has that trust, I'm not going to put her wrong. You know, she'll figure that out later, that I didn't know everything. But, you know, there is a trust in there, and I think we need to be like that with the Father, that he will lead us. And we need to be teachable and malleable. Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay. You are our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. You know, I think, and Lindley covered discernment extensively last week, so I won't kind of go into that. But I'm not saying just embrace everything and woohoo, it's all good. You know, we need to be discerning. But I think if we stay hungry, we stay humble, we stay childlike, we will be a flexible wineskin that the Lord can pour new wine into, and we can contain the turbulence of and handle the turbulence of what God's doing. You know, it's not, when God moves, I mean, in my years, I've sort of seen the charismatic renewal in the 70s, I've seen God pour out, you know, stuff happening in the 80s and in the 90s. And every time I've seen something fresh move and hit, you know, it's been turbulent. There's been change. There's been new revelation come. People have stepped up in different areas. And it's always been a place of contest. Is this God? Isn't it God? But I have seen those people that said it's not God. All I've seen them do is become angry. And And that grieves my heart. You know, when you read, you know, I mean, you read some of the stuff on the internet, you know, it's kind of, some of the things that we've been involved in and are involved in, what have you, end up on Cult Watch. And, you know, it's kind of wear it like a badge of honor, really. But anyway, but I, you know, it was a point in time where I would read that stuff and go, "Oh, do they have a point? You know, are they right? You know, have we been deceived? Have we missed it?" And then then the Lord just said, "Read it again. Look at the heart." And for me, it's a dividing, discerning thing, is that the people that have embraced what God is doing tend to be soft, loving, open, moving forward in what God's doing, fruit in their lives. And those that are resistant to what God's doing, you can hear it in their writing, is that they're hard, they're angry, and they're disruptive and divisive. And it's like, and if nothing else, that has become a litmus test for me. When I'm reading, you know, whether something is good or bad, it's about, you know, what's the heart? What's the fruit? You know, and because when we're approaching stuff in a place of humility and childlike faith and place of openness and open-heartedness, God can work with that. And he can correct it and shape it and things are good. You know, I just sort of hit me when I was reading it, just as I was sort of finishing off the message, was that, you know, the Lord Jesus said the wine needs to go into fresh wineskins. Some translations say new, but it says fresh wineskins. And it's kind of like, so what's a fresh wineskin? And the wineskin's made out of goat skin typically. So it's a leather container, and they don't just fill them up, drink the wine, chuck the wineskin. You know, that would be hugely wasteful. So they keep reusing the wineskins. So how do you keep a wineskin fresh? Well, how do you take an old wineskin and rejuvenate it? And it's just like you soak it in oil. So we just need, you know, it's kind of, the Lord was to sort of challenge me about that point where it's like, Lord, Stuart, are you really open to that? Are you open to me speaking to you? Are you becoming an old wineskin in that area? And it's like, Holy Spirit, soften me. Soak me, Holy Spirit. It's just all our language, right? Oil of the Holy Spirit soaking into us. But such a great picture that when you rub the holy oil in and into leather, it softens and it becomes supple and malleable. And that's what a new wineskin, a fresh wineskin looks like. And it's not a program that we run or a way we organize ourselves or a structure that we create that is to contain the flow of the new wine. It's about us. Each one of us, and we can be made into a fresh wineskin if we're old and crusty. Anybody old and crusty? It's funny. I always thought to myself, you know, that I'm not old and crusty. You know, but it's kind of really hit me that it's easy to slip into the I've arrived place. When you hit something, you know, you come into a new revelation yourself in whatever area it is, and you kind of go, wow, this is amazing, this is it. I can remember walking into the auditorium in Toronto, walked straight into the inn when we first went there in 1998, and the words came out of our mouths, we've arrived, we're home. And it's like, that's great, but that's not the ceiling. You know, there is always more. And God is just really challenging me about that. And you know, and it's sort of just, we need to be aware of our thinking and aware of the state of our own heart, because that's where it creeps up. And it's and it caught me by surprise. You know, there's some things being talked about in the Catch the Fire community at the moment, and you know, it's called all exploratory, and I'm like, no, don't think that's God. And it's like, you know, and it was the same things. It's like, don't think God would do that. Don't think God moves like that. Doesn't fit my theology. Right? Holy Spirit's like, ha. You know, not saying that what's happening is right or wrong, but he's just looking at my own heart, and I realized actually I'm closed. And if that is what God's doing, if I stay in this place, I'm going to miss it. I'm not going to embrace it. And that's not what I want. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing that I'm dry and crusty. Just a little bit in this little area. But, you know, so it's not the big stuff, right? These things happen by little increments. And then you wake up one day and you go, I'm dry. And God's not moving in my life or around me. I feel like I've missed it. And I don't want us to wake up one day and go, we've been passed by. That would be tragedy in the extreme. So Lord, has anybody got any crustiness? Well, let all the crusty stand. The good news is that we can soak in his presence. We can soak in the oil of the Holy Spirit. And we can receive the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now and just fill us. Fill us. Soften us. Father, we repent right now of every area of our thinking that says you wouldn't when you can. Father, forgive us for exalting our knowledge, our ideas, our thinking above the knowledge of God. And Father, let us encounter you. Let revelation come. And then we can figure it out afterwards. You know, once God encounters you and you encounter him and you have revelation, you now have testimony. And no one can take testimony away from you. So I just want to pray quickly for the ministry team. Guys, come over here. We're going to pray that the ministry team gets full of oil. And then we're going to invite you guys to come through a tunnel that these guys will make and have the oil of the Holy Spirit rubbed into you, that your wineskin may become supple and fresh. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.